violation of sexual and reproductive health and rights. Castaria Chart, the right to sexuality and reproduction, are fundamental human rights. Violation of women's Castaria Chart during conflict is largely the result of patriarchal forms of control against women and infringes on women's autonomy to exercise choice in matters related to sexuality and fertility. Note reference, 50. Sexual violence perpetrated against women and girls. Sexual violence against women and girls in the context of conflict is systemic. It continues to be employed as a tactic of war and terrorism, torture and repression, to humiliate and instill fear in a community, ethnic, religious or political groups, as a means of ethnic cleansing, a means of enjoying the spoils of war for military men, and a means to produce more children to replace dying ones by husbands. Note reference, 51. Rape, assault, trafficking, sexual slavery, forced pregnancy, forced abortion, forced sterilization, forced marriage, forced prostitution. Note reference, 52. And sexual slavery are often perpetrated by both state and non-state actors. Even peacekeepers are not an exception when it comes to sexual violence against women. According to the UN, between 2004 and 2016 the United Nations received almost 2,000 allegations of sexual exploitation and abuse against its peacekeepers. Note reference, 53. They were reported to have forced local women to have sex in exchange for food and humanitarian aid. Note reference, 54. Sexual misconduct by the senior-level officials of Oxfam during Oxfam's humanitarian response to the 2010 Haiti earthquake made headlines recently. Note reference, 55. Women and girls are further exposed to and are more vulnerable to sexual violence while escaping conflict and seeking refuge. They face greater risks in transit and displacement settings. The UN Secretary General in his 2017 report, Non-Conflict-Related Sexual Violence, highlighted that many women and girls were subjected to sexual extortion by camp officials or by migrant smugglers in exchange for their assistance, and the fear of rape as a factor inhibiting the return of displaced communities to their homelands. Note reference, 56. Reports of young Rohingya girls and women being raped during their boat journeys to Malaysia and Thailand, as well as in makeshift camps on the Malaysia-Thai border. Note reference, 57. Further exemplify their vulnerability at all stages of conflict. In some cases, the level of violence they may experience is determined by caste, class, ability, mobility, civil status, sexual and gender identity, religion, nationality, ethnicity, and location. The Special Rapporteur on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples, at the 2014 World Conference on Indigenous Peoples in New York, expressed concerns that such acts of violence had not been investigated and prosecuted despite evidence of gang rape, sexual enslavement, and killing of tribal women and girls in a number of countries. Note reference, 58. For women and girls, camps and shelters are supposed to be safer than the place they fled, but are ironically not a refuge in its true sense. They often face blatant violence and mutilation, demoralization, and dehumanization. Note reference, 59. The Philippines President Rodrigo Duterte's recent remark to soldiers on Mindanao Island, where he has imposed martial law, that they were allowed to rape three women. Note reference, 60. Is a disturbing example of how the objectification of women is normalized even by state leaders. Quote, sexual violence against women and girls in the context of conflict is systemic. It continues to be employed as a tactic of war and terrorism, torture and repression, to humiliate and instill fear in a community, ethnic, religious or political groups, as a means of ethnic cleansing, a means of enjoying the spoils of war for military men, and a means to produce more children to replace dying ones by husbands. End of quote. Page 11. Though the nature of conflict since the time of the Second World War has changed, the nature of atrocities perpetrated against women remains similar, sexual violence being one of them. One of the most deplorable examples of sexual violence in Asia are the comfort women, who were forced into sexual slavery in Southeast Asian countries for the pleasure of the Imperial Japanese Army. An estimated 200,000 to 400,000 women from all over Asia were forced to become comfort women to the Japanese soldiers during World War II. The women were brutally beaten, raped, and imprisoned throughout Asia under the direct control of the Japanese military. Note reference, 61. Some of those who are alive are still seeking justice from the government of Japan, and its response has been patchy and ad hoc. In 1971, during a 9-month conflict between East and West Pakistan, Bangladesh women experienced brutal violence as sexual violence was used as an instrument of war to disrupt the racial integrity of Bangladeshis. Note reference, 62. An estimated 200,000 to 400,000 Bengali women and girls suffered from some form of sexual and gender-based violence, ranging from abductions to being held in rape camps to forced pregnancy, abortions, and sterilizations. Note reference, 63. In Timor-Leste, a Commission for Reception, Truth, and Reconciliation to study violence perpetrated during the 24-year occupation of the Indonesian military, documented 853 counts of sexual violence, including 393 rapes, 229 instances of sexual slavery, and 231 other forms of sexual violence such as forced birth control, torturing pregnant women and resulting miscarriages, and forced abortions. Note reference, 64. Gender-based violence. During the Maoists' insurgency in Nepal between 1996 to 2006, such as rape, forced abortions, sexual abuse, and torture, among other violations, was significant despite the fact that women constituted 20% of the combatants. Note reference, 65. During the civil war in Sri Lanka, violence by the state military and police against Tamil women in northern and southern Sri Lanka was rampant. Note reference, 66. For some women, sexual violence does not end with conflict. According to a report by the Women's League of Burma, multiple acts of sexual violence against women were perpetrated even as the ceasefire was being implemented. Note reference, 67. Human Rights Watch reported that the Burmese security forces had committed widespread rape against Rohingya women and girls as part of their ethnic cleansing campaign in Myanmar's Rakhine State. Note reference, 68. The rapes were accompanied by further acts of violence, humiliation and cruelty, where women were beaten with fists or guns, slapped and kicked with boots. Note reference, 69. For many of the victims, the impact of the violence is still fresh as they continue to face stigma from their families and communities. They are subjected to physical violence, ostracization, and victim blaming, especially when they have endured sexual abuse. Sexual violence has physical and psychological consequences, such as injuries and disabilities, increased risk of HIV infections and unwanted pregnancies. Note reference, 70. Often, the impact of conflict on their FRHR are life-threatening and have long-term negative consequences on women. Note reference, 71. CEDAW Committee General Recommendation GR30 recognizes that there is a strong association between sexual violence and HIV, including the deliberate transmission of HIV used as a weapon of war through rape. Note reference, 72. With complete lack of support systems, be it social, psychological, or legal, the victims resort to remaining silent even after the conflict. Quote, for many of the victims, the impact of the violence is still fresh as they continue to face stigma from their families and communities. They are subjected to physical violence, ostracization, and victim blaming, especially when they have endured sexual abuse. End of quote. Increased child, early, and forced marriages. This form of violation of FRHR is not specific to the context of conflict. In many cultures and religions, child, early, and forced marriages are accepted, but it is further exacerbated during conflict. This may be due to shrinking economic resources within a family or using marriage as a safety net, i.e., to protect their daughters from sexual violence and abduction. Note reference, 73. Marriages are also seen as a way to avoid conscription of girls into the military, such as in Sri Lanka, where parents feared forced recruitment of girls by the Liberation Tigers of Tamiland Eritrea in the north and east of the country, and believed that the armed group would not recruit married girls. Note reference, 74. There is also evidence of Rohingya girls being forced by smugglers during their boat transportation to seek refuge in other countries to marry older men willing to pay off their debts. Note reference 75. In Cambodia, under the Khmer Rouge regime, women endured forced labor and forced marriages along with brutal beatings and rape, including gang rape. Page 12. Page 13. Rohingya girls and women taking the boat in the night towards safer destinations like Malaysia and Thailand. Reports of young Rohingya girls and women being raped during their boat journeys to Malaysia and Thailand, as well as in makeshift camps on the Malaysia-Thai border, further exemplify their vulnerability at all stages of conflict. In some cases, the level of violence they may experience is determined by caste, class, ability, mobility, civil status, sexual and gender identity, religion, nationality, ethnicity, and location. Page 14. Forced pregnancies and involuntary contraceptive implants. Women's bodies are seen as modes of increasing the number and perpetuation of the population of certain groups. In many cases, this is backed by religious ideologues or community leaders, who reinforce women's roles in childbearing. Note reference 76. Women, therefore, are entrapped by this stereotype and are forced into frequent childbirths. In Myanmar, where ethnic communities are facing conflict, young people and women are discouraged from using contraception. Instead, having children is promoted. Note reference 77. During the civil war in Sri Lanka, the LTE had forced women against using contraception and to give birth, with very little spacing, to increase the Tamil population. Note reference 78. Such politicization of HRHR by both state and non-state actors risk the lives and the health of women and girls. States also use a population control measure to perpetrate ethnic cleansing of minorities even in post-conflict situations. In post-conflict Sri Lanka, Tamil women in the Kilinokkad district had to undergo coercive population control through sterilization that put their lives at risk. Note reference 79.